Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I'm John Noonan of Azure Marketing, and I'm excited to have Senior Technology Evangelist Yung Cha with us to discuss deploying Windows 7 and 8.1 enterprise clients on Azure. Just to note, we'll start out with a presentation from Yung and conclude with 10 to 15 minutes of Q&A. So if you have any questions along the way, feel free to submit those through the Q&A window, and we'll answer as many as we can at the end of the session. Also, we'll be making a copy of the slides and a recording of this webinar available via email to everyone in the near future. And with that, I'll hand it off to Yung.
Thank you, John. Hello, everyone. This is Yung Cho. I am a technology evangelist at Microsoft, and I am focusing on hybrid cloud. On the screen, you see my personal blog and also my Twitter. I welcome you to connect me through social network. This presentation is giving you an Azure infrastructure primer. We're going to talk about the methodology, the artifacts, and also some of the essentials that you should know when you're deploying Microsoft Windows Azure infrastructure services. This presentation, however, is not about the whole client deployment methodology or remote desktop or VDI, anything in that nature. If you're interested in signing up Microsoft Azure trial, we have a 30-day free trial that's available. You can go to the link on the screen. And then from the drop-down list, you can click it and pick the first one. That will trigger the registration process, and you will have a chance to get the free trial and try everything we talk about today. We have a very simple agenda. We're going to show you how you can deploy a virtual machine, and in this case, we're going to deploy Windows 8.1 clients. And then we're going to talk about some essential thing about Microsoft Azure infrastructure services and some of the processes, operations, things in that nature. At the end, I'll give you some information in terms of the cost, the compliance, and other information as well. So first, let's talk about how we can deploy through Microsoft Azure Image Gallery. Once you authenticate into Microsoft Azure, and if you click on the left, you have the navigation pane, if you will. And the third one is the virtual machines. If you click that, if you have not deployed anything, you're going to see a blank screen just like what I have in the middle. And at this time, you can click either to create a new machine or the lower left button, the new, it will start triggering the deployment process for you. First, we're going to configure the virtual machine, and first you will pick the image you want to deploy from our image gallery. In our image gallery, there's actually a whole list of different kind of workload, both Microsoft and non-Microsoft, including Windows servers, SQL Server, SharePoint Server, BizTalk Server, Visual Studio. We have Visual Studio built in. And non-Microsoft, we have different open source workload that's available. We have Oracle workload as available as well. Now, you keep scrolling down the image, and at some point in time, you're going to see this Windows 7 and Windows 8 clients there, and then you can select. In this case, we'll select 8.1. Now, notice you have to be an MSDN subscriber at this time in order to be able to deploy Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 client. And you click next to the next page. Here we put in basic information about the virtual machine, the machine name, and what kind of configuration you want to have. In this time, we're going to pick A1, which is one core with 1.75 gigabyte memory. You put in the administrator information. Now notice in the middle, there's a tier. There's a basic tier. There's a standard tier. And the standard tier basic saying, this virtual machine will have the capability to participate load balancing, and also with the auto-scaling capability. If you pick the basic, then these two capabilities are not available. You click to the next page. This is the page that you need to pay more attention because there's a lot of information here. First, you've noticed that there's a cloud service. So later we're going to talk about this whole artifact, but here there's also a drop-down list. So if you create some service already and you want this virtual machine to join that service, then you can click the drop-down list and pick the service from there. If there isn't any service or you want to create a new service, you can leave it as it is. But here you put in different information. And then once to the next page, this final page, there's also opportunity for you to add different agents. And we recently In North America, we make an announcement. There's a different agent that we now make it available, including Puppet and Shaft, and also Maxwell Anti-Malware, which is a very nice add-on. In this case, that's what I pick. So there's a 4 pages of information. Once you finish, you click that, and that's the end of it. That's the information that we need. And then the Windows Azure, Microsoft Azure, deploying the virtual machine for you. If you pick a very simple configuration like what I have, it's about 6 or 7 minutes. So depending on how familiar you are with the process, this whole thing can finish really in 10 minutes. You will have a virtual machine up there ready for you, either Windows 7 client, Windows 8.1 client in this case, or there's different workload like server or SharePoint. SharePoint and SQL Server will take a little bit longer, but the standard server, it's a matter of minutes. So once it deployed it, you will see a list there. At this time, I want to point your attention to the lower button, part. I call it black menu bar. There's a different context menu, if you will, that's available that for you to further operate if you choose to do so. There's a connect. This is where you can initiate the remote desktop to remote desktop into the virtual machine that's been highlighted. You can restart or shut it down directly from this Microsoft Azure Management Portal. You certainly can do PowerShell to shut it down or start it as well. But if you want to do it through interface, this is where you can directly do it. There's also opportunity for you to attach disks, which later I'll show you that, or to capture the virtual machine as an image, and you can do a live capturing, which is just recently available. And you can certainly delete it as well. So that's basically how you can deploy a virtual machine. So at this time, let me kind of bring your attention to know a little bit more about what exactly happen in the past few minutes when we deploy that virtual machine. When we talk about infrastructure services in Microsoft Azure, there's really a whole methodology behind it. Here, I'm going to give you kind of the essential components that you need to pay attention to. First of all is, if you look at the diagram I've produced, the light green part, that's the region. So when you plan to deploy into Microsoft Azure, first you need to think about where in the geographic region I'm going to deploy to. Is it U.S. East, U.S. West, is it Europe, Asia Pacific, where is it? You need to make that decision. Have some understanding of that first. The next thing you need to think about is your storage account. If you look, that's in the center, sort of like the blue, the light blue one. The storage is where you're going to store the virtual machine, which is the VHD, or your data disk. So this is a storage account you have to allocate, or the system will allocate that for you. Either way, we need to have a storage account in order to consume Microsoft Azure storage. So that's the second thing you need to think about. The third thing is about the red kind of dotted circle in the middle. That's the cloud service. Cloud service is a logical container. It is an artifact for you to basically include all the resources that you need, including your configuration, your virtual machine, your networking, everything related to that service. You will include it in this logical container such that you can administer or manage as a single unit. In fact, in cloud computing, there's really no concept of virtual machine. There's a concept of service. When you deploy a virtual machine, you have to create a service first, and then associate this virtual machine with that service, or you can say deploy into that service before you can actually roll out the virtual machine. So that red circle is extremely important in terms of the artifact and different processes and operation we're going to operate on. And then in the center, once you have these three things, you know the region, you have the storage account, you have the service, then you can start deploying the virtual machine. Now, if you choose to deploy to a virtual network, you need to create a virtual network, which is kind of the lower right corner that you see that virtual network and the different kind of buckets I put in there or the square I put in there. If you have a virtual network that you construct, then you can deploy all your virtual machines to that particular network. So you will have an opportunity to associate them together when you go through that process. Once you deploy the virtual machine into it, you can also load balance that if you have multiple instances of the virtual machine. So you can create a load balance for that virtual machine on the endpoint, and then all the requests coming in, we will load balance that for you. And this is very, very easy to do. It's a matter of minutes that to add a new virtual machine into the load balancer, participate in the load balancing, the whole configuration is really just a matter of minutes for it to happen. You can also, if you look at sort of like a right outside the virtual machine, there's two kind of a black bucket I put in. That's the availability set. That is to eliminate the single point of failure due to the hardware, due to data center hardware of those virtual machines. When you deploy multiple virtual machines, if we deploy all of them to the single hardware, if that hardware becomes unavailable or have any outage, then you have a single point of failure. So if you can use availability set to eliminate any possibility of these multiple instances of virtual machine have a single point of failure due to data center hardware. On the left of this slide, I show you some important facts. One thing you want to pay attention to, both cloud service, storage account, virtual network, they all based upon region. So once again, where you're going to deploy it is extremely important. You need to get that agreement first before you really architect any solution or roll out anything. You need to make sure you know where you're going to deploy to. That's going to impact a lot of things that's coming after. And also, the compute instance, your virtual machine is really associated with your service and service-associated region. So these are very important concepts that you should keep in mind. So with that in mind, let's talk about some of the stuff. We just talked about the storage account and service and things like that. So first, let's focus on the storage account. Storage account, I guess, is associated region, right? So once you create a storage account, and once you deploy a virtual machine, if you actually look at the disk folder, if you will, or page, if you will, you actually will see that VHD, that deploy, and the whole URI or URL, if you will, to access that VHD. That VHD is actually stored in the storage account. So either you create one or the system will create one for you. We need to have a storage account before we can consume Microsoft Azure Storage, and that's your storage account right there. Okay, and if you look at the detail of the storage account, you look at the, we call it dashboard, you're going to see additional information here. Right, and so you will look at the detail, you'll find out there's different type of storage windows, Azure, that's available. And so this is where you can kind of go through the detail of what information available, what kind of process operation I can operate on the storage account. That's all included here. If you look at the configuration at this time, you notice that it shows you by default we are allocate this storage account as a geo-redundant, and this is default. Geo-redundant, basically, we will replicate the storage into a secondary data center 400 miles away. So if you deploy in US, in East US, we're going to replicate to West US, right? We will deploy to a secondary data center that's 400 miles away, and this is default. So when you create a storage account, if you don't specify this is what you get, what you will pay additional is the storage. So you basically duplicate the storage 400 miles away. And also the ingress, so to get in, transmission into the duplicate storage account, that's free, but the egress will get charged. So you pay the storage account and also the egress transmission cost. Now, that is for DR solution. By default, you always get locally redundant. So geo-redundant basically is replicate your locally redundant storage into a 400 miles away secondary data center. So by default, we'll do that. If you choose not to, you can certainly do that. But the locally redundant is giving you high availability because we replicate three times of the anything you put in automatically on your behalf. Although you see one instance of virtual machine, but behind the scene, there's actually three copies of that VHD that will make it highly available for you. And you don't need to do anything. That's a given. Now, if you choose to change from geo-redundant into locally redundant, you can simply click and it will go through the process and give you some warning, say, you know, there may be interruption to the service. But if you're okay that, we will just switch that for you, right? So at this time, I switch that to local redundant. You want to read additional information, there's a link for you to tell you the GRS and LIS, Now, GRS means geo-redundant storage. LRS is locally redundant storage. This is extremely important in terms of for you to architect your solution, architect your HR and HA solution. The next one is a service. So remember, when we deploy, I say we need to know the geographic region. So we talk about a storage account. So you will create a storage account. You decide you're going to do GRS, LRS, what have you. And the next thing is, well, what about your cloud service? Well, cloud service is a logical container, right? So on the navigation pane, you click cloud service, and you can easily click new and create a new service. It's just associated with the region. Once you create the service, one thing I want to point you to create is really important. But once you create that, I want to point you to that. You look at the dashboard. What you want to look is the instance. You can see the virtual machine instance running under it, because there are times going to deploy multiple instances under a service, or you have 20 virtual machines out there, and you want to know which virtual machine in which service is where you can see it, so you can see multiple instances. At this time, I just deploy one, so there's only one. So that's kind of very quickly to show you kind of three important concepts. One is the geographic region, you need to make the decision, and then the storage account, right? Once you create a storage account, you say you want to LRS or GRS, right? GRS is for HR. It replicates your LRS, local redundant storage, to a secondary data center that's 400 miles away. That's for your HR solution. Locally redundant, you always have it. It gives you the high availability option. We automatically, behind the scene, on your behalf, to replicate the storage account three times. And although you see one instance of virtual machine, in fact, behind the scene, there's two standing by. In case anything, we will really fail over on your behalf. So that's all given. So once you have the storage account set up, then you have the cloud service, which is a logical container to contain all the resources that are associated with the particular service. The service, basically, in cloud, that's the application you want to get access, right? And so these are really important artifacts. Once we have that concept, you kind of know the infrastructure service, kind of the basic already. Now, here I want to introduce another process to deploy called Quick Create. The one that I showed you previously is through the gallery. So on this screen, you will click the kind of in the middle column, you'll click the second one, say from gallery. That's what I just showed you. That gives you the opportunity to set up the services, the storage account, even the virtual network. But there are times you just want to deploy a virtual machine kind of just very quickly. I just need something to triage, or I just need something to look at the UI, or I just need to get something out there to do a training or something. You really don't care about the virtual network or storage or whatever. You just want to get a machine out quickly. You can use Quick Create, which gives you seven pieces of information. And here you also get to choose. For instance, you get to choose what image. Now, you notice here you don't see Windows 7. If you do want to deploy Windows 7, Windows 8.1, you need to click More Images, which will trigger Deploy from Gallery. If you just do Quick Create, all this image that's available on the list, that's what's available. But if you need something else, you will trigger the From Gallery deployment. You can still choose different sizes. Notice you have a standard and you have basic. And different geographic region, right? And so you still have chance to choose that. But if you look at that, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So seven pieces of information and one click. That allows you to deploy a virtual machine. So you can do this very, very quickly if you know what you're doing. And basically, this allows you to rapidly deploy a virtual machine. This is really good for instance, you are running a training class, right? And you want a virtual machine out there. You can kind of script this. They'll automatically deploy just, boom, out there. And for 15 virtual machines. And when you finish, get rid of them, right? You don't want any networking. You don't care about any storage account, that sort of thing. This is really great for you. So we talk about a Quick Create process. Now let's talk about how you can access the virtual machine. Now once you deploy it, you see this screen, right? This is the virtual machine page that you see, and you see all the instances listed there. You will highlight your instance, and then you can click the connect directly from the bottom. This will trigger remote desktop process. Now first it will ask you, do you want to save the RDP file? So if you deploy this virtual machine for your customer, let's say you deploy this in Washington, D.C., like where I am. I'm processing this. And you are my customer. You are in California. I can actually save the RDP file and send you the RDP file. That RDP file will have all the information that you need to access this virtual machine other than the credential, which is the user account and password, which I will provide you. So you as a customer, you can access this virtual machine without the need to know where it is, right? You ask for a virtual machine, I give you a virtual machine. This is actually running, for instance, in Microsoft, maybe Brazil data center, which is okay because what you want is a virtual machine and you can get your virtual machine. In this case, I'm going to open it directly. So your experience will be like this. When you open it, it will come back and say, hey, you want to do a RDP conversation with me, right? And so this is a standard one. So if you look at the detail, you see we have clipboard, we have printer, which means you can do copy and paste into that virtual machine. If you don't want that, you can certainly uncheck it, right? Once you hit OK, it go out and look for the virtual machine. It finds it. It coming back and say, you know, give me your credential. Tell me who you are. So you put in the credential. If that credential is good, the machine actually send back this conversation showing you, say, hey, I need to do SSL. I need to do secure communication. Here's my public key. You want to trust me? So if you look at the certificate detail, you notice this certificate access is issued from the particular machine and issued by this particular machine. This is a self-signed certificate. Now, wait, when you deploy the virtual machine, you never at the time you specify any certificate whatsoever. This is created by the process. In other words, all the virtual machine you deploy in Microsoft Azure, we will automatically create a self-signed certificate such that when you communicate to the virtual machine, we will do SSL. So at this time, if you okay, which means you're going to accept this public key, right? You go back to the conversation and say, go ahead and connect me. You would do a secure communication at this time and then access to the remote desktop. So momentarily, you will be able to access this window 8.1. In this case, we just recently deployed. And here I also show you some detail of the machine. If you look at that, you can see the IP address. You look at there's the two disks that we included for you. One is the C drive, which is the OS disk, and also a D drive, which is temp storage. This is a standard deployment when we deploy a virtual machine in Microsoft Azure. We give you two disks. One is the OS disk. The other is temp storage. The OS disks will be 127 gigabytes. At this time, they are all fixed allocation, which means they're actually 127 gig that's being allocated. And the temp storage is for Microsoft to store page file. You really don't want to store any your application or personal data on the temp storage drive, and you can attach a data disk, which I'm going to show you in a minute. But this is how you can remote desktop into your, in this case, Windows 8 client. Once you can remote in, business as usual, right? You think about if you deploy on-premise data center, how do you do that? Well, you deploy something or somebody else deploy that for you, and eventually you're going to RDP, you're going to remote desktop into the machine or the server, which is exactly what we have here. So either you deploy to Microsoft Azure, you deploy to your on-premise, this RDP experience is exactly the same, which means at this time it's business as usual. All the practices that you have developed over the years, you know, using Microsoft technology product and you know, all those skills that you have developed is directly applicable. It's a very exciting story. So that's how you can access virtual, your virtual machine. Now, so I'm running really a scenario for you. I say, okay, so you deploy this virtual machine. You are really planning to deploy a number of virtual machines. So you try to develop a basic image for deployment. So at this time, what you can do is you can customize your virtual machine. You install, you remove things you don't want, right? You customize your image, and at some point in time, you know what? You can build an image, and here's what I'm going to show you. So for this virtual machine that you deployed, if you do it from the management console or management portal, you highlight the virtual machine, and there's a click button for you in the lower black menu bar to do capturing image. You can actually capture live image if you want to, although you look at the error message, it will say it's not recommended, but you can do it. This is a new feature that just recently introduced that to do a live image capturing. Why you want to do that? There are times maybe you just want to capture the current state. for whatever the reason, either to triage, or you suspect there's funny thing going on, you suspect this virtual machine may have something you want to investigate, you can take a live image if you want to. You implement some changes, you want to take that snapshot, you can do that, right? Or you can shut it down. So if it's not shut down, you're going to get the message, but we're just going to take the image. So that's it. That's like 2-3 clicks. That's it. So for a minute or two, you capture the image. That was it, right? So you think about if you do in any other way, the process you have to go through. But this is great. So I take an image. Then you can look at the image page. You're going to see that image listed there, right? You can get detailed information. You can get the access information and all that. And once you create image, the good news about it is next time when you deploy, right? Remember, this is a part of the deployment from the image gallery. This is the first page. When you select the deployment image, it's listed there under My Image. So imagine this. If you have a set of corporate standard image, right, not only you can deploy in Windows Azure, you can actually have the whole process in Windows Azure. In other words, you can go to Windows Azure, pick the image which we pre-built for you. For instance, SharePoint, SQL, Oracle, right, Windows Server 2012, BizTalk, SUSE and Linux, you know, all kinds of workload there. You can pick that, deploy it in Windows Azure. If you want, you can set up virtual network, have a development environment there, and then you test it out, you customize it, and you save it as an image. And next time you come in, it becomes part of the list, and then you can deploy. So you can standardize your deployment very, very easily without plug it in a single cable or have to physically manage any virtual machine whatsoever. So this is great. I love this story. All right, so that's how you can build image. What about data disk? Now remember, when you deploy a virtual machine, either client or server, into Microsoft Azure, right? We have OS disk, we have temp disk. There are certain workloads that you definitely want to have a data disk. For instance, your domain controller. You probably want to have two data disks, which I'm going to talk about on the Friday webcast. I hope you will join us. You need to have two data disks, one for your sysvolume, the other for your backup. This is just standard practice. If you do SQL, you want to have another data disk or many data disks for your databases. Right? If you do SharePoint, you do any other workload that's you know kind of database related, or you want to have a really control on that, on where the data, you know, data store and things like that, you want to put in data disk. And here's how I show you. You can attach data disk to the virtual machine, either server, either client, easily. So basically, after you deploy, we're still in the Microsoft Azure Management Portal, and you highlight the virtual machine or the server, and then you click attach, right? And you, at this time, we're going to attach an empty disk. So it have to pop out, give you a chance to customize the naming, and then specify the storage. In this case, I specify 20. Right? This maximum can up to 1 terabyte because the behind the scene, this is page block, so this can have a 1 terabyte. But either way, I put in the storage and next. This takes about a few minutes. It depends on the storage, but this happened, we're talking about minutes as opposed to anything else. So without really, other than clicking, right, you can attach terabytes storage very easily, just like that. So once you attach that, you look at the disk page. Now you notice that disk is associated with the virtual machine and listed there. And there's a location information that allows you to, if you want to access the storage directly and things like that. Now remember, all this storage, this VHD are stored in a storage account. And in the storage account, we have configured that to either GRS, which is a default, redundant storage, or we configure as LRS only. LRS, you always get it. LRS, locally redundant storage, give you the high availability, and then GRS give you the HR. So if this is a critical workload, like SQL, like your domain controller, you can easily develop HR solution, at least the all this replication, by just a matter of clicking. You know, we give you that capability. So what you need to focus, what IT pro need to focus now, is not the physical deployment of it. It's really the design, the analysis. That's why we see IT pro will make their value added in this area as opposed to previously moving the boxes, plugging the cable, strictly turning on the server or shutting it down. Now, IT Pro, you can actually apply the knowledge, the skill set you develop over the years into the analysis of these operation process, how to optimize it, how many instances we should use, how much storage we should use, and why we're using that, why this is cost saving, things like that. All right? And if you, after you attach the data disk, you cannot use it yet. You have to get into this workflow and actually use Disk Manager to initialize it. Right, so you put it online and initialize it. Once it's initialized, it's just like any other disk that you can access and store. All right. So think about what we have went through. I show you how to deploy. I talk about the artifact. We have the geographic region that we need to focus on. There's a storage account to store our VHD. And there's a cloud services, which is a logical container. Right. And then I talk about a quick create process, 7 pieces of information, 1 mouse click. You can deploy very quickly. This is if you don't care about virtual network, don't care about storage. And then I talk about more in-depth in terms of the RDP experience, how you can remote access. Remember I show you that certificate, that self-signed certificate, do a secure communication. And then I show you how you can attach data disk, right? And now, when you're done with the VM, let's say you want to get rid of it. Right, you want to delete it. This is how you can deallocate it. It's a little bit different than you stop it and deallocate it. From the management portal, there's a click button called shut down. If you click it from here, shut down, when it actually shut down, you're going to see that warning message is telling you that, we may interrupt your services, and so just make sure you confirm that. After that, you're going to see the state saying stop and deallocate it. That is significant. Why? Because when it's stopped and deallocated, we don't charge you. In other words, this virtual machine, maybe this is a critical SQL workload, and I allocate the largest, the biggest configuration, which give me like 15 gig random access memory, right, and give me 8 core or whatever is, there's a massive computing resource that's been allocated for this virtual machine. Even if you stop it, we still reserve those resources for you. So we need to charge you. Because we're holding it for you. Anytime you come here, click start, we're going to allocate those resources. So even you not running it, we still will charge you. But if you stop and deallocate it, we actually release those resources. So next time when you stop it, we will go out and find a resource for you. It's just like we're not going to hold it up. We reserve it for you. So if you stop and deallocate, we stop charging it. We're charging by minutes. In the report, you're going to see the usage by hour, but we report by hour, but we charge by minutes. So that's how you can deallocate. Just simply just highlight that, click the shutdown. You would deallocate the virtual machine. So let's talk about the pricing, right? There's a couple pages that you want to bookmark, and this is Azure pricing. And here you can see different type of workload, different type of services. You just kind of need to drill down a little bit. This is one page that you certainly want to be familiar with. This is a what if cost calculator. I love this page. This is great stuff. Because in this page, there's a different type of services and workflow, right? And you can specific saying, I just look at the website, I just want to look at the virtual machine, or I want to look at the media services, or what have you, right? You can click those buttons. I normally click the last one, which is everything. So I got a list of everything there. And then, as you drill down, you will see the virtual machine, and then there's a slide bar, right? And you can drag it, and it will show you, okay, if you do a small virtual machine, and as you drag it, it will show you like a 3-5 virtual machine. It will show you the price on the right-hand side. And so as you go through all the stuff you want to deploy, for instance, I want to deploy the virtual machine. I want to deploy, I want to do a GRS, right? And then all the things that you want to do, a database or what have you, you pick and choose what you have, and then you move the slide bar to the amount, to the actual allocation you want to allocate, and then you have a price list. This is kind of a rough estimation of how much it's going to cost in this configuration. So it's like a what-if analysis, right? If I deploy 2 virtual machines, small size, this is how much it's going to cost. If I deploy 3 and I use medium, right? Or when I have a peak hour, I want to deploy five with this particular configuration and with this much, different type of allocation on other services, and then you get a price. So it's a really great tool for you to kind of analyze your cost, right? To develop a baseline cost model. So I call this a what if cost calculator, and there's a link for you. And also on this cost calculator page, you look at the virtual machine and look at the different services. There's a standard and there's a basic. So if you want to know exactly what is standard, what is basic, this page will also provide you that information. Service level agreement, right? Don't sign up any cloud services without reading it and studying. And did I say study? Yeah, you need to study service level agreement because not all service level agreement are created equal. Look at the Microsoft's and compare with other service provider, and then look at the detail. Get all the facts on the table, right? Because sometimes people will say, yeah, we provide uptime this many nines, but by the way, we have downtime. Oh, that doesn't count. You need to really compare it, lay it on the table, not just browse it, not just read it. You need to study it. And here's the service level agreement page. We have different kind of services that's available. You need to go through this and really kind of understand what's provided, what's covered, what's not covered, and put different vendor on the table, list it all out, and pick the best solution for you. If Microsoft is not the best, you should not use it. Okay, now compliance. Everybody talk about cloud. First of the thing was security, and then it's compliance. Well, a couple of things. I'll just show you that all the virtual machine we provide, we will have a self-signed certificate. So basically, it's SSL. So that is the technology today in when you do e-commerce, when you provide your social security to your bank. That's the same technology. It's always there. It's a given. You don't need to deploy any PKI. We're going to put that in that for you. And it doesn't matter if you're talking to Microsoft services or between Microsoft services. All communication within Microsoft Azure is based upon certificate. So it's, in my view, it's as good as you can get. In terms of compliance, there's a compliance page, okay, showing all the compliance certificate Microsoft has. We have FISMA, we have FedRAMP, we have different type of certification. Go to this page, it will list it all out. It also shows you some links to point you to, for instance, Office 365, how you can implement certain things such that you can be HIPAA compliant, things like that. There's different documentation also available in this page. So there's your link. All right, so I went through a lot in a very, very short period of time. So let's see exactly what we have gone through. Well, first I show you that if you want to get the trial, that's the page you go there, and then click the drop-down list to the first one to kick off the registration process. You do need to provide credit card information. However, at the end of the 30 day, before the end of 30 day, we'll send you email. You have a chance to opt out, right? And so it's really for identity. So there's your trial link. We talk about deployment methodology. I'll show you how you can do gallery deployment to pick up Windows 7, Windows 8, or other workload, non-Microsoft or Microsoft workload. And the user experience, how we go through the different pages, right, to deploy. It's like four pages, and you deploy a virtual machine, standard virtual machine, about 6-7 minutes, right? So probably within a 10 minutes time frame, if you're familiar with the process, you can get a virtual machine out there. We talk about a storage account, and you create a storage account in order to consume storage in Microsoft Azure. And then once you have the storage account, by default, we allocate GRS, which means geo-redundant storage. Geo-redundant storage means we will replicate your locally redundant storage to a secondary data center 400 miles away. This is one checkbox. So you do one checkbox, we set it all up for you. What you will pay on your end is the duplicated storage and also the transmission out, the egress. The ingress is free, the egress is out. That's a basic cost involved when you have an HR solution. And LIS, if you can change it after the fact, or if you do PowerShell, you can actually set it up saying, I want LIS instead of GRS. LIS is locally redundant storage, which on your behalf, we will replicate, total three copy of the data storage that you consume. In other words, your VHD, although you see one instance behind the scene, actually there's two copies standing by for you in the same cluster, which we create that for you. In other words, LIS give you the high availability by default. So you deploy something to Microsoft Azure, by default, at least you get high availability. If you don't change from GRS to LIS, you also get HR capability. So think about that. So this is really a good motivation why you should think about moving your critical workload to cloud, and specific to Microsoft Azure, because you get HR and HA capability very, very easily. We talk about cloud service. That is a logical container, which associate all the resources that you need to support the service, including your storage account, your virtual machine, your load balancer, your availability set, which will eliminate single point of failure due to data center hardware, right? You deploy multiple instances, and we will spread it out such that they won't all go to the same hardware, and if we have an outage of that hardware, you get single point of failure due to the hardware. The availability set will eliminate that. Right, that's part of the cloud service when you deploy, that you can kind of put in that into your design. We talked about how you can capturing the image, right? Capture a live image if you want to do a triage or whatever the reason you need to capture the current state of the running machine. You know what? In the future, I see that will be a documentation of a runtime environment. I need to know what exactly happened in that runtime environment. Take a live image. That's your documentation, right? You can take a live image, and then like 2-3 clicks, right? You'll create that. It will generate a VHD associated with a storage account. I show you how to attach a data disk, right? You can specify the storage, and then it will attach to that, and then you will go into the virtual machine instance, use disk manager to actually initialize it and format it. And then you can use it as a regular data disk. And then talk about there are certain workload you always want to put in additional data disk. For instance, like your SQL, you will put a data disk to store your database. Like your domain controller, you will put in probably two databases instead of one. One data disk for your sysvolume, the other one for your backup. Right? If you have SharePoint, you have other workload that you need a data disk, you can attach to that. And based upon the size of the virtual machine, there's a restriction on how many data disks you can put in. And I show you the RDP experience, right? How you can RDP into it. One of the important thing that we need to remember is, as you RDP, it will prompt you for the public key, right? And then you need to trust this public key in order to really do a secure communication with the virtual machine or with the instance that you have. And this is a standard within Microsoft Azure. Anything that we deploy there, all the communication, either between the artifact you create or your artifact calling Microsoft services. For instance, you allocate storage, eventually the system will have to call Microsoft Azure storage services to allocate storage for you. That call is certificate-based. That is based upon the certificate that we generate, like the sell sign, or the PKI you introduce. You can introduce certificate and trust it. And within the Microsoft internal, the API call and all that, it's based upon the certificate that Microsoft Azure established. So one way or the other, there's a chain of trust that's happening before we can communicate. And we kind of briefly go through a number of pages about the pricing. Right? What if calculator, you got to try that one. That's a really good one. It gives you kind of a nice layout in terms of the kind of cost baseline. That would not be your final cost, but that gives you a good idea, good baseline to begin with. And the compliance, Microsoft have a number of compliance certificates, including FISMA ATO, authorized to operate, It's all there. The information is there. There's also a link to documentation showing you how you can implement, for instance, Office 365, such that you can be HIPAA compliant, things like that. And the service level agreement, remember, you hear it from here, Young advises you, you need to not only read it, rather you need to study it. You need to lay it on the table, read the fine line, and then compare apple to apple. Look at the other service provider and compare apple to apple and pick the best service provider for you. There's additional content that I developed. I thought just put it out there, plug it in. and so if you're interested, you can read it, give me feedback. Hopefully this information can help you better understand cloud computing and the overall where the industry IT is going and also how Microsoft Azure works. With all that, I want to thank you for attending this presentation, and I hope you find it valuable to you. So at this time, John?
Great. Thanks, Young. Appreciate it. So we've got a number of great questions that have come in. For anyone in the audience, feel free to continue submitting questions. We'll get to as many as we can. So let's go ahead and dive in. So first up, we've got a couple of questions around creating backups and snapshots. So Young, if maybe you could just give a kind of a high-level perspective on that, kind of what's involved with that.
Right. The create backup and snapshots. For instance, your domain controller, let's say you want to create backup, right? After you deploy the domain controller or your workload, right? For domain controller, the example I use is we will then attach the data disk, right? And then I'll do the backup to the local data disk. In terms of backup software, you can use Microsoft provided a server backup, or you have a third party, your backup software, what have you. But the storage is there. Or if you want to backup to a remote storage, you can create a storage account, right, and then allocate data disk, and then simply just reference to that data disk. All the artifact in Microsoft Azure or cloud computing in general is RESTful, which means it's HTTP or HTTPS, right? So basically you reference the URL, URI, and then you can backup your storage. In terms of imaging or snapshot, I show you can take the live imaging. That is basically a live snapshot, right? So you have a running instance within the management portal. You can simply just click capturing, and it will give you a warning, hey, it's running. You sure you want to capture it? You say, yes, I want to capture it. We're going to capture that for you. And basically, it will create a disk, right? And then we will put that into the disk page. So you will do that capturing, and a couple of minutes later on the disk page, you will see that image created for you. So in terms of the operation, it's real simple. I think what IT Pro needs to think about is what are those workloads you want to have backup, right? What are those workloads you need snapshots? And then you also want to design your storage account accordingly, right? Because if you want to take snapshot, the size of the storage account, right, the VHD, you probably want to plan for that. And then, so the storage cost, and then do you do DRS or GRS or LIS? Is there a replication cost? Is there egress cost? That's where you need to focus on. In terms of the operation, it's real simple. And then most of the operation, once you have the virtual machine there, once you allocate the data disk, either local or remotely, it's pretty much transparent.
Great. Thank you. And we've got another question on whether or not you can use these images in the same way you would VDI, with only a monitor and a network adapter.
A couple of things. First, if you remember, the second or the third slide, I said this presentation is not about RDS and VDI. Let me put it this way. The VDI capability is there, right? However, we are not officially supporting VDI at this time. It's the capability is there. I'm just going to leave it like that.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. And another question around whether or not you can separate your Windows machines out from your servers? Any any perspective you can share on that?
First of all, you should sign up our Friday webcast, which I'll talk about how you deploy Active Directory in Microsoft Azure. And then let me just kind of do a little bit commercial here, because I want to make sure I don't mislead you. The Friday presentation is about the operability of Active Directory in Microsoft Azure. It's not about how you design Active Directory, but it's about showing you that, yes, indeed, it is possible. It's very easy to do to deploy Active Directory in Microsoft Azure, right, with your own Active Directory and things like that. So Friday will give you more details. Now, just to briefly, yes, you can separate them. Remember, the slide I show you, we started with a region, and then we say the storage account, and then there's a service, right? Remember what I said? Service is a logical container. It contains all the resources that are associated with it. Service is really the key concept in actual Azure or cloud computing. Service is the administrative and security boundary. So if you want to separate them, there's different ways to do it. First, you can put that in separate service, right? If they are not deployed to virtual network, they are totally isolated. In other words, if you deploy a virtual machine, which will be in a service, and I deploy a virtual machine, which will be in a service, both in Microsoft Azure, let's say they both deploy to East U.S. data center, and that's just they happen to be deployed to the same server rack. You know what? Let's just say they happen deployed to the same host, the same Hyper-V host. We're really running physically next to each other. We still don't see each other because we're totally isolated. We're running above virtualization, including storage virtualization, network virtualization, server virtualization. So we're totally isolated. So you want to separate your virtual machine, your client from your server. One thing is you can do service. Now, in Friday, I will show you inter-service communication. You deploy to the same virtual network, you can do inter-service. Another thing is, you deployed it to virtual network, but you can still use the routing different kind of mechanism to isolate that. So yes, the answer is that you will have the capability either through networking or through the servicing, other mechanism to isolate different workload.
Great, thank you. And there's a couple of questions I think that are just more broad about the kind of the benefits of running end clients in Azure or just VMs more generally. And I know you've touched on this a little bit, but given that we have maybe time for one more question, if you could kind of speak to those key benefits just at a high level.
Just say that again. I'm sorry. what exactly?
So there's a couple different questions here. Folks are asking about the just for kind of a recap on the benefits of end client in VMs in general.
There's a couple of things here. First of all, these are really important concepts in something that every IT pro should really internalize and really understand why we're doing cloud computing to begin with. Why cloud computing? People will say, well, internet is cloud. No, it's not. People say, well, I have a private cloud at home because I can access a server. No, that's not called cloud. That's called remote access. We have that for 40 years, 50 years. That's called remote access. Remote access is not cloud. Remote access is a key essential of cloud computing. What cloud computing provides you is the instantaneous gratification of whatever the service you provide. For instance, if your service is to provide network connectivity, if you're doing cloud, that implies that anytime I want, and I mean anytime, anywhere, on any device, I want network connectivity that you're going to provide me. If you claim you have a cloud application. If your services provide, for instance, like this, like broadcasting, you say we have a cloud broadcasting application. That means instantaneously, anytime, anywhere, on any device, if you need broadcasting, you will be able to broadcast. And it's not limited to 30 connection, 50 connection, 500 connection. It's unlimited because the premises of cloud is I have unlimited user population, unlimited network bandwidth, unlimited computing power, unlimited storage, everything unlimited. Basic design is based upon that, right? Although when rubber hits the road, that there's a limit. For instance, if I physically, I have 20 terabyte storage, that's as much as I can allocate. But the logical design is unlimited. What happens is as you approach the certain threshold, it will send out the warning to the system, and the system will automatically increase the allocation or maybe trigger the procurement process to buy the disks. You know, it depends on how you set it up. That's the whole concept, but the design is unlimited. This is why you want to move to cloud computing, because you really want your service, which is your application, running on a platform that really can face any kind of demand, right, and can grow and shrink, right? That's why you move to cloud. Why Microsoft Azure? I just show you. I can deploy a virtual machine in minutes. You think about that. Let's not talk about production. Just think about yourself, IT pro, right? Let's say I am a department manager. I'm an IT department manager. I have 20 people that I need to get them up to date on, let's say, server 2012 R2, right? Previously, I will need to buy at least 20 boxes or allocate 20 boxes or go to a training center with 20 workstations there. Right? You know, with Windows Azure, what I need is I have this subscription account. I deploy 20 Windows AR Server 2012 clients. Everybody bring your own device, right? And then you can go there and practice or train or what have you, right? And then better yet, when you finish, I can just, boom, delete it. That shrinking capability is incredible. That shrinking capability is what we couldn't get in the past 4 decades. IT have the issue is to spending capital money buying the boxes and later there, and then I can't get rid of it when I don't need them. Cloud takes care of that. And Windows Azure now have all kinds of capability. I just show you the IaaS, the infrastructure service piece. There's also PaaS. There's also SaaS, right? And then you also have a development capability with Visual Studio. I mean, the Active Directory in cloud, all that. So you need to think strategically why you want to move to cloud and why specific to Microsoft Azure. I show you the service level agreement. You know, print it out, study it, and then compare with anybody else and then make the best decision. We need to move to cloud, and we need to move to, in my view, we need to move to Microsoft Azure. I'm sorry, John.
Great, well, thank you.
I'm just so passionate
that was a great answer. Just about brings us to the top of the hour. So, Young, thanks again for presenting today. And a big thanks to everyone tuning in the audience. And I hope you all have a good day and can make our future webinars. So thanks.
Thank you all.